It's Kingdom Month here at Chapel Hill. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is where the rule and the heart of the Father intersects with life and your personal day-to-day journey. The kingdom is when heaven comes down and kisses earth. Kingdom is where the rule and the will and dominion of the Lord is realized in our everyday life. The kingdom, as we said last week, is already, but not yet. What does that mean? The cross has already won and secured the victory totally, but not yet totally does he rule in every area, because there's still a devil out there that's on the attack. But the Lord has given us authority over the works of darkness, hallelujah, so that we can advance the kingdom of God. Hey, heaven wants to kiss earth a whole lot, especially through you. When his rule flows through your life and it touches the earth, that is when the kingdom has come. We said we see this all over the place. Yesterday, we need to celebrate this. Lily walked down the aisle, and Lucas, our worship leader, they got married, and heaven kissed the earth right before Lucas kissed Lily. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that was just so precious. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. The kingdom takes place when a drug addict goes to the altar and says, Jesus, I can't handle this anymore. And he sets that captive free. And he exchanges opioids for the joy of the Lord. That is the smack of heaven upon the soul, the heart. The kingdom takes place when we as couples get in fights and the husband says to the wife, or the wife says to the husband, will you forgive me? I'm sorry about that. And the other person in the marriage turns and gives that forgiveness. Thank you, Gayla, for giving me 100 zillion times. That is kingdom life. Can I hear an amen about that? So I want to be a student of the kingdom. I want to walk in the kingdom. The kingdom is the reign of Jesus, the reign of the Lord. And someday he is going to rule and reign in heaven and on this recreated earth perfectly. But right now he wants to be Lord of your life, King of your world, and let his rule flow through you. And I say, bring it on, Jesus. Bring it on. Now, Matthew chapter 11, verse number 12, has a very powerful verse if you're a kingdom person and you desire it. And read it with me. It said, from the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing and violent people are attacking it. That sounds kind of aggressive, especially in some of the news lines we hear about radicalism. But let me tell you, this is a powerful verse. And I want to park here, then I want to come back here in the end. Jesus is saying here, the kingdom of God is ready to move forward. But it doesn't appeal nor move forward to passive Christians. Notice that the adjective that describes the kingdom describes the person that enjoys kingdom living. We know in Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not a bunch of rules and regulations, drinks and legalism, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. How many of you want righteous peace and joy in the Holy Ghost? Amen. I want to be one of the most kingdom-saturated persons you ever meet. Oh, the Bible says, Matthew 6:33, that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and have his heart ever before you, you don't have to sweat the other stuff. You don't have to worry about the old things of this, because your Father cares about the sparrow. He cares about you. And when you are in unity, in letting his will be done in your personal life, he'll take care of the peripherals. How many of you are amazed that the Lord has taken such good care of you? Amen, Arlo. I feel what you feel right now. But let's get back to the kingdom of God suffer violence, and the violent are violently apprehending it, or the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, and forceful men and women take hold of it. The word is people who seize the kingdom. The kingdom seizes them. It's the same word. Whatever the kingdom is doing, people that have that attribute, they move to the kingdom, and there is a synchronization of their desires in the heart. Forceful men join the kingdom, and the kingdom is forcefully advanced. The language of the Bible is the tense of force is middle, which means it's not passive. You just sit around, it happens to you. And it's not active where you just do it by yourself. It's middle. And what that means is when you do it, it comes in you and gets you more. The more you reach for the kingdom, the more the kingdom gets all over you. The more you force your heart, this is what I want to be, the more the force and the dynamic of the kingdom raptures you. Another verse that's talking about something else, but that same dynamic is when you give yourself to it, it takes you over, is if anyone will take up his cross and deny himself and follow me, he'll be my disciple. You do something, but you receive something. In fact, the word here, the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, and the force will take hold of it, we get the word harpoon from it. Act like you're out there and you're getting Moby Dick. You're just putting you're putting that harpoon, and all of a sudden you say, I want God's best. I want God's plan. I want God's destiny. And you stick that harpoon in the kingdom, and you pull something in your boat called the kingdom of God, and you go, wow, this thing is bigger and more dynamic and more spectacular and more awesome than I could ever dream. So other places in the scripture where this force or this violence is used, I looked this up this morning because I couldn't stand to not know more about these words. Advance, forceful, violent. You know where else this word is used? Acts chapter 2. And there was a rushing, mighty, forceful wind that came into the upper room. Those people were so hungry for more of Jesus in Acts chapter 2 that while they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, there was a forceful wind of the Holy Spirit that moved upon them. That's the same word. So when you are wanting to let the kingdom be number one in your life, like the same mighty wind that swept into the upper room, it comes into your life, and you put up the sail, and it leads you to your destiny and what God wants. You know wherever this word is used in the Greek version of the Old Testament? You know where this force and violence is? It's when Pharaoh's army was on Moses' heels and those wonderful Jewish people. And the Pharaoh's army and their chariots was coming, and there's a raging Red Sea in front of them. But God spoke to Moses and said, you hold up your rod over that impossibility and you stretch it over those waters. And when he did, the might and the power and the force of God rolled back the raging waters of the mighty Red Sea. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those individuals that sign up, that reaches and harpoons the kingdom of God. And as I reach for it, it reaches for me and I become a kingdom builder. That's what I want to do. It's what today's all about, being a kingdom builder. What is it, Matthew chapter 19 or 19:14? It may be John, I'm sorry, but it said, don't keep the little kids from coming close to me, because the kingdom of God is like these little children. You know, if you want to know how to be a kingdom builder, then look at children and look at these kids who are so eager to learn. Are you a learner? They grow so easily. They are not so afraid of things. We parents try to make them more afraid. Watch that, watch that. And in this verse about kingdom advancement, forceful men and women, in this word, it means that people run in the kingdom without, everybody shout, without. Without. without calculating the repercussions. When you run after the kingdom and you become one of these John the Baptist, you know, you don't have to wear camel's hair. You don't have to be like some wild person out here with locusts hanging out of your teeth. But lovely ladies, you want to be a kingdom advancer. But the Bible says this is what it is. The kingdom advancers are people who say, this is what God wants for me. This is what I want for myself. I don't care. I don't care what's going to happen. I don't care the repercussions. I don't care what people say about me. I want to seek the King of the kingdom first and foremost in my life. And that's what my life is going to be defined by. That's what that means. And children do that. We have to teach them, you need to be more afraid, kid. Be afraid about. And Jesus goes on about all these little children, and he says, you just need to have a heart. You need to be willing to grow. You need to be willing to be teacher. You need to believe and trust. You need to run into the arms of your Father God and cry, Daddy, openly. Have a heart like a little child. And when you do this, you are well on your way to being a kingdom advancer. In the very end of the gospel, Jesus comes up and he talks about spreading the gospel. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ here at Chapel Hill really has been spread in a marvelous way through the vision of the church and Pastor Dave and Cindy, such incredible visionaries. But I just want to tell you about how the kingdom of God has been growing. This past year, over the whole Chapel Hill experience, all four campuses, and I don't want you to celebrate this, beyond what we've given to facilities and utilities, monies to other ministries, last year we gave $900,000 to world missions around the planet. Can you say praise the Lord for that? $900,000. And this Sunday is Kingdom Builder Sunday, and we just want to talk about being a missions church. This year, our vision for global missions at Chapel Hill is $1.25 million, $1.25 million. I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. And let's stroll through some of these ministries that this church, through all the hearts of kingdom advancers like you and Pastor Dave, has made a difference in. First of all, this church supports 125 missionaries across the nations on their field, and we help fund that many ministry all around the world. Isn't that incredible? I tell you, I do a lot of ministry, just loving people who are not Christians, and when I tell them about this part of our heart, it's stunning to them. I said, do you realize that at Chapel Hill, they have a pantry, and that pantry gave 1 million pounds of food away to hungry people last year? Is that awesome? 1 million pounds? There's a crisis pregnancy center that girls are just in the grip of a life decision can come in and be loved on and help. There's free clinic. Oh, it's just absolutely amazing. I know here at Chapel Hill, funds came out of your heart in missions to help young ladies here in Atlanta that was accosted and arrested and thrown into the slavery, abuse, trafficking here. That's something that we need to be mindful of. Kids in Cambodia and the Philippines are adopted, and we educate them and give them little outfits to go to their academy. More in Haiti, there's an orphanage where kids come and are trained and loved, all because of the kingdom heart of people here in this ministry. It goes on and on and on. There's a Bible school in Southeast Asia, Myanmar, that is young people like Dalton and myself, not I'm not a young person, but somebody called of God can go and be trained the Bible so they can teach it the rest of their life. Young people in Southeast Asia, that's taking place, and it goes on and on and on. These ministries that take place, not to mention the last year, there was a welcome from Douglasville for us to join the vision of Chapel Hill, and the future is bright for what God has for us as the kingdom. But Jesus comes in, and I want to wind this thing down, but I want to tell you something. Jesus comes in, and in Matthew chapter 4, he comes, and if I can have that verse, look at this. Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues. You know, he really wasn't welcome there, but he did it. They had little moments of open discussion. He took advantage of that. Take advantage to invite people to the Lord's house. I'm already inviting people to our great Easter service. I'm getting such a great response. And Jesus went around telling the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and every sickness among the people. And the news about him spread all over Syria, and people were brought to him. And look what happened. People who were handicapped and crippled and diseased, as we look at that verse, they begin to get healed. They began ministry taking place. If you'll go to the next verse, please. As they were just being healed and touched, diseases were removed. And that's what the heart of the kingdom of God is all about. Well, I want you to look at the word Syria. Everyone say the word Syria there. The word Syria means a lot to me because it seems like Syria is just always a place where pain is a part of the human struggle and a part of history. And Jesus had people coming from all over Syria. We're gonna watch a 30-second video right now. It's not Syria, but it's Tunisia. And I want you to hear a missions program and leader that says thanks to Chapel Hill for what we've done. Listen to this heart of this spiritual leader.
Thank you, Chapel Hill, for helping us establish a presence to present the gospel in Tunisia, one of the most unreached countries in the entire world. And thank you for helping us take the good news about Jesus into the heart of one of the most poor and desperate communities in Israel. Your partnership with us and the other six churches in the Christmas offerings these past 2 years has helped us raise almost $1.2 million to put a dent in the darkness. Thank you for partnering with us.
I want you to go and I want you to look at this verse real quick again. Matthew 11:12. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing and forceful people take hold of it. That's our opportunity to do that here this year with the global vision of Chapel Hill. I want to tell you, the world is waiting to see a people who have found truth and are not ashamed of it. I'm going to say that again. The people who don't know the Lord, who are searching for reality, they are looking for someone who's aggressive with their faith. Years ago, I had a privilege to preach the gospel, and really, up to this time, I think it's probably my greatest preaching opportunity moment. And I've preached all over the world into big crowds and conventions. But let me tell you, I found some people that were wanting to see people who meant business for Jesus. Hadley was just a little baby, no more than three. Her sister was 4 years her elder. It was before 9/11. And I had the girls one Saturday afternoon, and Mom was doing something else. And by our home in Birmingham, there was an open field, and it wasn't uncommon to have Hispanic young men gather there on this field and play soccer. And I never stopped to play soccer with those boys because I didn't know how to play soccer. But I had Hadley and Daly, and they were in the little, minivan, and I was being the little daddy for the Saturday. And when I drove by, the Hispanic teenagers were not playing soccer, they were playing football. And I pulled up, and I just started to salivate that. There's some boys playing football. I got these two little girls in the back, and I said, "Hold it, girls! I'll be out in a second." I had shoes like this on, and I walked out there, and I got the football. And when I got out there, there were 40 young men, but they were not Hispanic. It was the Muslim mosque youth group having a football game. And here I am. I have a football, and I'm in street clothes, and I started throwing a couple balls, and they let me throw a couple, and I kind of got, you know, that little itch you're taking care of. But I had to prepare a good sermon, you know, that's what's important on Saturdays. So I said, come on, girls, and we got in the van, and we drove up to my house, and I was going to work real hard to really have a great manicured message for the next day. And as I was studying so I would really be smooth, the Holy Spirit said, "Why did I bring you to this city? Did I bring you to this city to preach finely manicured sermons? Or did I bring you to this city to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ?" And the Holy Spirit, like a mighty wind, said, "You get yourself down there to those kids and play football with them, and the people at church can put up with a pitiful sermon tomorrow. We've got to make the main thing the main thing." But I had these two daughters, Robert. I didn't know what I could do, so I put on my cleats, I put on my gym shorts, and I grabbed a large bag of peanut M&Ms. The big kind. And I drove down to Daly, that was 4 years older than Hadley. I said, "Daly, this is your plan. You got to take care of your baby sister. I'm going to go out there and play football for the glory of God. This is what you to do. Every time Hadley complains, put one of these M&Ms in her mouth. You got the whole bag and she will love it." Daly's, you know, just so sweet, such a passion. "Okay, Daddy." So they had, and I got out there and I started throwing the ball to these guys, and now I was launching missiles, you know. And those guys would go down and out, and when they would turn, a quarterback can time it. So when you make your break, the ball can just be there, you know. And I would hit the guys in the mouth, and their friends were, I was bruising up their buddies. I was hitting their butt, you know, and they just loved me. And at the end of that session, I said, "Guys, thanks for letting me play ball with you." 40 of them. I said, "But I'm not here to just play football. It was fine. But I'm here to tell you somebody loves you and that Jesus Christ really is who he said he was." They sat there and they were stunned. And as I was talking to them, one of the guys, and I've never heard anybody listen to me with such respect in all my life. One guy said this, Mr. Duval, we are shocked. But before I tell you what he said, I want you to hear Pastor Dave Devine share with us Kingdom Video vision for what this church is going to do this year for God's glory.
We're part of the kingdom of God, and watching people grow in their involvement in God's kingdom is one of the most exciting things that I get to do. Our mission at Chapel Hill is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And when people are growing, we find people praying and serving, helping, and giving with generosity. And that's happening throughout our church family at all of our locations. The Bible says, "To whom much is given, much is required." And if you're like me, you realize you've been really, really blessed. In fact, it's amazing when you think about it. Just the mere fact that you live in America, you're probably in the top 1% of the most blessed people in the entire world. Christelle wasn't born in America, but she was born and raised in Haiti. And because Chapel Hill is here and we're focused on kingdom ministry, I want you to listen to how Christelle's life has been changed.
I was born and raised in Haiti, and in 2006, my family moved to America for a period of time, where we began attending the church at Chapel Hill. My life, my family's life, and people in Haiti have never been the same. My father pastors a congregation in Port-au-Prince, where thousands of people are served 7 days a week. I met my husband, Jonah, here. We now have a baby girl, and without a doubt, Chapel Hill has changed my life and is literally impacting the world, and I can't believe I get to be a part of it.
I've learned that generosity begins with an attitude. My attitude is that God has blessed me so that I can bless others. I've also learned that I have a choice. I have a choice to either spend my life on myself or spend my life for Jesus and others. You have the same choice. So I'm so excited because I believe that our new Kingdom Builders focus will enable our church to have greater impact while having greater clarity. Greater clarity in our over and above giving. Now, what do I mean, over and above giving? It simply means over and above the tithe. See, that's where real generosity begins. And when we're generous together, we get to go and send and advance kingdom work around the world. While together, we're each spending our lives for something so much greater. Now listen to a new missionary Chapel Hill sent out last year to the Arabian Peninsula. It happened in part because of you.
Hey, Church of Chapel Hill, by the time you hear this message, we will literally be on the ground in Muscat, Oman, and we could not have done it without you. God obviously has a mission for us, and that mission is to reach the people of the Arabian Peninsula, 142 million people in that area. 99.97% of them have no access to the gospel. Thank you for believing in the call on our family to be pioneers and plant the church where it doesn't exist. Thank you for helping send one of only two male career African American Assembly of God World missionaries in the country into the field in record time. Man, I believe I'm the first of many. Thank you so much for partnering with us to reach the people of the Arabian Peninsula, and God bless you guys.
2017 was an amazing year of growth and kingdom advancement at Chapel Hill. We celebrate the new Dunwoody campus and our growing church family at that location. And I have to tell you, I'm so excited for Pastor Danny and his team. This faithful congregation has always had a passion for global missions, and I know the best is yet to come in that perimeter area of Atlanta. We also expanded opportunities for next generation leaders by sending students on a missions trip to Mexico. And my desire was simply to see these kids return home with their hearts impacted and changed.
Last December, I had the opportunity to go with a group of transit students on a missions trip to Mexico. We spent 7 days serving people and sharing the message of Jesus. Because of a generous church, I was able to go and experience what it really means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, which is all about going into all the world to preach the good news. My life will never be the same.
In 2018, I'm asking you, our Chapel Hill family, at all of our locations to direct all over and above giving, sacrificial, generous giving, to Kingdom Builders, which has three significant objectives: global missions. This is all missionary giving and missions project giving. This is huge. We're now supporting over 120 missionaries every month through your generosity. That's what a missions giving church does. We support missionaries and projects that impacts kingdom work. Also, local ministry expansion. All giving related to local ministries and multi-site growth. Our local ministry includes ministries such as PRC Medical, Faith in Action, the pantry, the care place, our free medical clinic, and so much more. Also, next generation leaders, all giving related to impacting young lives for the future. And I think heaven smiles with this investment. Because of you, God is doing big things through multi-site ministry in Dunwoody, Atlanta, and Bremen. For example, Pastor Jamal, well, let's just have Pastor Jamal tell you about what's happening in Atlanta.
It's amazing how the multi-site vision of Chapel Hill has caused the DNA of this congregation and the Spirit of Jesus Christ to be transplanted into communities in the Atlanta area. Not only in Douglasville, where we were founded, but Bremen, Dunwoody, and our location in Atlanta, where I have the opportunity to lead an amazing congregation of people. Since Chapel Hill came to our current location on Washington Road, hundreds of new people have come through our doors. In fact, we've seen almost a 400% increase in attendance, with people that are hungry to hear the gospel and excited to serve those in need. And I am seeing people transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't think of a better way to invest in the kingdom of God than through the local church.
It's obvious to me the people of Chapel Hill have a heart for people, even people we'll never meet and who will never benefit us. See, that's having a heart for the world God loves. This year, I want you to see people. I want you to hear stories. I want you to hear stories like Pastor Chino, who launched a new church in Kennesaw, Georgia last year, that Chapel Hill helped support. You and I have had a part in this. Take a look.
To be able to say, man, from the moment that a person walks through our parking lot, they see a sign and people waving at them. They go inside, somebody says hello. They sit down, they encounter life-changing worship where they raise their hand and they're like, man, I never felt the presence of God. They hear a word that transforms them, hear the gospel, see that Jesus actually loves them. That person all of a sudden changes their complete life, and it's all because we prepared that thing and then we allowed Jesus to do the work.
Chapel Hill is a church that was planted by other churches supporting us. We're here because of others, and Greater Church is alive and growing because of you. I want you to feel the thank you from everyone we're going to help as kingdom builders in 2018. I believe our greatest impact is yet to come. The greatest life change is yet to come. The greatest miracles have not yet happened. And people will find hope in Jesus' name. And the kingdom will be advanced for God's glory.
If I ever get to step into your home, I'll probably sit down and look at your coffee table or end table and see what's important to you, because go to your home right now. There's probably a family album or a trip you made, and it's laying there, and there's a story behind all of it. And I want you to take this Kingdom Builder World Vision book home. And I want it to become something very special to you. And I want it to be where you live and you see it and you like, okay, this is a big part of who I am as a person, because I am advancing the kingdom of the Lord. I want you to pay a real close note to a couple of pages. I want you to look at page 28, if you will. Can you go to page 28 on your book? And Andrew, you can come. Praise team, if you can come, if you will. I want you to see something, because this is a part of our mission's vision of Kingdom Builders. If you'll look on the middle column, about 2/3 of the way down, there's a name that says Ron Marcotte. Can you find it? In 2003, he was an optometrist in our neighborhood. Didn't know the Lord. But on his journey for truth, he pulled into the parking lot and kind of came into the church, and Brother Bobby met him. Bobby was serving in ministry here. Share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm getting chills as I tell this story. And introduced him to other staff members, and they led him to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ right here on this property. Come on, somebody, be excited about that. The kingdom began to grow in Ron's life as he reached for it. It became bigger and bigger, and he left his medical practice. Who does that? To be an Assemblies of God missionary. And right now, years later, he's in South America building a building to reach people. And this year, we have an assignment to have a piece of that building that we take care of, that's being led by a missionary that didn't even know the Lord until he walked in the parking lot here at this address. Hallelujah. That is what kingdom building is all about. If you look at page 16, you don't have to do it right now, but when you get home, please take this home and live in this. Gail and I are leaving tomorrow, and we cherish your prayers, because we are going to go with your former pastor, Brian and Jamie Campbell, We're flying to Greece and have a celebration of the dedication of the completion of the Greek Fire Bible. This is a one version training tool that will grow your faith. I tell you, there's 77 articles in the front of this Fire Bible that will grow you to make this one of the greatest personal years of spiritual growth you can ever have. And it just got completed in the Greek language. And we're going over there to celebrate with them. And then next Sunday, I'm preaching at one of the largest international churches in Albania as we tell them America is going to produce, translate the Fire Bible for your language so you Christians can grow too. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to stand with Brother Ron and this missionary that got saved here with our piece of this vision. And then we're going to fund $25,000 translating the Fire Bible for people who have a quest for spiritual growth, just like you and I. This is what Pastor Dave wants us to do. And he says, I want everyone to take this kingdom card. We don't want you to turn it in today unless the Lord just tells you. But this is something that we want you to take with this coffee table book. Go through it. People need Jesus. And between now and Easter, pray about what you and the Lord could do above your tithe to touch those people that missionary Ron Marcotte is reaching and Fire Bible, along with the 125 missionaries that we're supporting. And then in Easter, the first part of what you want to give over and above your tithes, we're going to give to the Lord. And it's the whole year. It's everything we're doing above tithe into this one vision, so it's clean and it's clear and it's powerful. We want you to take that. Just let the Lord speak to you, and the Lord will take it from there, and He will help you. Gail and I have filled our card out already and given it. We're believing God for great things in our life in every area. I want to tell you the end of the story. I want to tell you the end of the story. So, my sermon's not going to be very good the next day because I'm playing football for Jesus. I got 45 Muslim teenagers sitting on the ground, heard me share Jesus. And one of the young men said, Mr. Duval, thank you for talking to us like this. But we are so stunned. We're stunned by what we're seeing and what we're hearing. I says, yes, why? And this is what this young Muslim teenager said. We didn't know there were any Christians in America that were serious about their faith. We go to school, and the students at Hoover High School who claim to be Christian live no differently from the kids who are not Christians. And we just see compromise and hypocrites, and here we are having someone tell us that Jesus is real and Jesus is powerful and Jesus can change. We didn't know Christians were serious about their faith. So I tell you what, you pray to Mohammed, I'm going to pray to Jesus. They prayed the most dry, dead chant. You've heard dead Christian prayers, but there's Holy Spirit on that. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. There was no Holy Spirit on this. And then I got to pray to a Savior I had a personal relationship with.
Thank you, Lord.
Four of those young men made an appointment with me, and they would bring their Quran, and I'd open their Bible, and I started going to their student club. And they had a witness that Christians in America truly are forcefully advancing the kingdom of God. And that's what God's asking us to do in this Kingdom Builders Week. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. You're just here and you say, Pastor Danny, Jesus is not a priority for me. He's just not. I mean, he's just not. He's not Lord. He's not number one. But today, I want to invest my life in Jesus, with Jesus, for Jesus. I need his forgiveness. I need him to do a work in my life. If you're here right now and that you are not seeking first the kingdom of God, but you want to, I want you to humble yourself, and at the count of three, I want you just to raise your hand. Would you do that? One, two, three. Just raise your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you. Just thank you so much. Thank you. Put it right back down. And I want everyone to pray this prayer with me. Not after me, but with me. Father, not with me, but after me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I want Jesus to be Lord of my life.
To be Lord of my life.
Forgive me of my many sins.
Forgive me of my many sins.
I reach for you right now.
Reach for you right now.
I want more of you in my life.
I want more of you in my life.
Show me what it means.
Show me what it means.
To follow you wholeheartedly.
To follow you wholeheartedly.
I give you my heart in Jesus' name.
My heart. Jesus.
I want to seek first your kingdom.
Seek first your kingdom.
I want you to stand with me right now. I want you to stand with me, and I want you to allow the Holy Spirit just to come upon you as this song that's fresher than this morning's news headlines touches us before we're dismissed. Andrew, would you sing it? Would y'all let the Lord touch you right now?
And we know our world needs Jesus. And we know our world needs freedom. So give us eyes to see the hurting and the broken. Let our lives align with every word you say.
Sing it again.
And we know our world needs Jesus. And we know our world needs freedom. So give us eyes to see the hurting and the broken.
Yeah.
Let our lives align with every word you say.
Come on, we know it.
And we know our world needs Jesus. And we know our world needs freedom. So give us eyes to see the hurting and the broken. And let our lives align with every word you say. We know, and we know our world needs Jesus.
Yeah.
And we know our world needs freedom. So give us eyes to see the hurting and the broken. Let our lives align with every word you say.
Take the world right here. Take your coffee table missions book. If do you have one, just hold it right now. Just hold it right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray. There's so many nations and there's so many ministries and there's so many opportunities for us to touch and change the world, but we need your help. So Lord, I pray that you would land upon our hearts the force and the dynamic that John the Baptist had when he said, I'm not going to worry about what happens to me. I am going to declare the King is coming. Daddy, would you come up here right now, darling? Come on up. We're on our way to the other side of the world to preach the gospel, to tell them what the Fire Bible can do. And we cherish your prayers. We just go and we're going to represent you. We're going to preach our heart out. We're going to love. I hope I lead somebody to the Lord on the other side of the world, not even on church grounds, just somewhere out there somewhere. But I want you to pray for us in just a moment. I was out there sharing the Lord, and I brought the girls home from throwing the football to the Muslim teenagers. Gayla saw Hadley and she said, what happen to Hadley. And I don't know if your husband's ever had this situation, but I was out there sharing and preaching and praying with these Muslim boys until Daly came out of the minivan holding her little three-year-old sister. "Daddy, we got to go home. We got to go home." I said, "Why?" Hadley just threw up M&Ms all over her outfit. Daly had put so many M&Ms in her, trying to pacify her while I was sharing the gospel, she couldn't hold one more M&M, and she had peanut butter and chalk. And I said, "Gayla, you're going to have to forgive me on this one. My motives were pure." And Father, in Jesus' name, as we leave this great day, we say our motives is for your name's sake. We need miracles in our finances. We need miracles in our testimony. And we thank you that we're not sitting on the sidelines, but we are kingdom builders for your glory and for your honor and for your praise and for lost souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Now stretch your hands toward us right now. Stretch your name. Father, we receive these prayers and we take the gospel out of this pulpit and we take it to the other side of the world. And may souls be saved in Greece and Albania for your glory and for your praise, in Jesus' name. Amen. He's going to sing this song. I want you to go to four people before you leave and tell them you are a kingdom builder. Would you do that? Andrew, can you just sing that again as they begin to go? Go to four people right now and tell them.
And turn to Jesus.
You are a kingdom builder.
Let every voice sing.